Hi everyone, welcome back to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Erin.
And we're on day two of our TLC article for this month. It's all about tasty, tempting Korean cuisine.
Yum. It sounds delicious.
Yeah, we looked at a very tasty food, Dongjang Jjigae, in the first day, this really thick, hearty soup full of fermented soybean. We also met Gizzy Erskine, who is a British cook, a chef, and a writer. And she has traveled out to South Korea because she loves the food there and she really wants to learn all the kind of local secrets, learn some recipes. And she's got this show, Discovering Korean Food with Gizzy Erskine. And she's out there. And I guess today we're going to find some new dishes to go along with the one we met yesterday.
Yeah. And that's not all that she does on this show as well. She wants to go and discover these things. But since she is also a chef, she wants to make some of her own food.
Oh, cool.
She's going to be doing that on this episode. And we're going to be talking about that today.
All right. Let's read through and find out what she comes up with.
Feeling inspired, Gizzy sets up a cooking station in the village and gets to work. Gizzy is preparing a unique fusion feast by combining traditional British flavors and Korean cooking styles. On the menu today is bossam, a pork belly dish that's served with a dongjang-based sauce called samjang and various vegetables. To eat bossam, you wrap the meat, sauce, and vegetables together inside a lettuce leaf. To give the dish a British twist, Gizzy is roasting the pork belly with crackling and all. Once the pork is in the oven, she sets to work on the sauce using garlic, sugar, rice wine vinegar, dongjang, and gochujang, another fermented soybean paste with a hint of spice. She finishes it off by adding the drippings from the roasted pork, a classic trick for making a Sunday roast gravy. Served with a spicy salad and apple kimchi, Gizzy's take on bossam is a huge hit with the villagers. Having satisfied her itch to cook, along with several villagers' stomachs, Gizzy's keen to hit the streets of Seoul in search of delicious Korean barbecue. She's after a particular beef rib called galbi, which is known for the fat that marbles through it. When the galbi cooks, the marbled fat melts into the meat, making it tender and juicy. No trip to Korea is complete without trying galbi, and at Seoul's Korean barbecue festival, Gizzy is up to her ears in it. If all this talk of food has you hungry, satisfy your cravings for South Korea's distinctive cuisine by tuning in to TLC's Discovering Korean Food with Gizzy Erskine this November.
Okay, so that is day two. I have to say, as a vegetarian, some of these dishes do not entice me as much as the other one yesterday did, but I can see why people would want to eat this stuff. I can understand what makes it sound so tasty.
Right. Now, this one actually appeals much more to me.
Okay. Mm. Well, we start off by seeing that Gizzy feels inspired. If you feel to inspire someone is to give someone an idea, some energy, some motivation to go and do something, very often to create something or to achieve a particular goal. If you are inspired or you feel inspired, then you have inspiration. Something has inspired you and given you the idea and the motivation, like, oh, I've got to go and do this right now.
Okay, so let's find out what she does. Here it says, Gizzy sets up a cooking station in the village. That's the same village that she was in the day before.
Gotcha.
When we talked about Mrs. Bach here. And gets to work. So when you set something up, what she's doing is she's preparing the equipment that she's going to need to cook this dish.
Now, right. This meal is not just going to be any meal.
Nope.
She is going to prepare a unique fusion feast by combining traditional British flavors and Korean cooking styles. Unique means it's one of a kind. It's different to anything else. And you can probably guess the meaning of fusion by reading the end of the sentence where it says we're putting together British ones and Korean cooking styles.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of fusion food is when two or more different countries' cuisines are kind of put together. You take elements or ingredients or flavors from one, mix them with another, and you end up with something that's not quite either, but it's something brand new. And this is something a lot of modern chefs and modern restaurants are doing. They're combining different flavors and ingredients to come up with new creations.
Right.
One I saw that does look interesting is a ramen burrito, where you get a Mexican-style burrito, a wrap with stuff inside, but instead of the rice and beans, you're wrapping, the noodles from a ramen and the other vegetables and meat.
Interesting.
Not the soup, but you wrap the ramen ingredients in a burrito.
I think I'd eat it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, well,
and it's a feast.
It is. It's a feast. So a feast is a very large meal. Now, we usually use it to describe something that you'll eat in a celebration. So, for example, in my family at Christmas, we have a big feast. We have turkey, we have vegetables, we have all of these different foods. We usually have three flavors of pie, Christmas cookies, hot chocolate, coffee, tea, all of these different things combined into one meal. And it's hard to get through. There's so much food.
Yes. You're usually eating the leftovers for several days afterwards.
Yes.
Okay. So what is she going to start with? She's got on the menu today is bossam. Bossam is a pork belly dish. So that's the kind of meaty stuff from the pig's belly.
It's the good kind.
Apparently the good kind. I don't eat pork, but apparently it's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's served with a doenjang-based sauce called samjang. So we remember doenjang is that fermented soybean paste, and they're using that to make a sauce. It's doenjang based, which means, okay, we start with the fermented soybean stuff, and then we add other bits and bobs, water, other vegetables, other flavors. So whatever the base of something is, that's the starting point. This one is called samjang, so it's got, a few other things in it. And the dish itself, the bossam, the pork belly, is served with various vegetables. Various means a number of different kinds. So there could be some bean sprouts, I think, are pretty common in Korea. You're probably going to get some cabbage as kimchi or as cabbage. You'll probably have a few other bits and bobs.
I'm not sure exactly what there are, but I'm pretty sure that if you go to a Korean restaurant here, you'll see the various kinds of vegetables they have.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we mean is not just one or two, but a number of different things. I guess in a lot of menus and dishes like that, especially in a village, the vegetables are whatever we have.
Exactly.
It's like these things are in season right now, or we have a few of these left. Let's put them in.
Right. Okay. So there's a special way to eat bossam, and you'll see this with quite a few Korean dishes. When I was in Korea, I had to do this. So when you eat it, you take a lettuce leaf. Now, lettuce is a green leafy vegetable. It's usually in the whole form. It's a round and you can peel the leaves off of it.
Yeah, you get it in salads a lot.
So you take one lettuce leaf and you put your meat inside and then you put the sauce on it and then you put the vegetables in and you wrap it all up.
Okay.
And then you eat it kind of like a big lettuce roll, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I've seen this in Vietnamese and a couple of other sort of Southeast Asian cuisines as well. So I guess this is – I'd never seen it in the UK or in Europe. So this
is not at home either,
new kind of creation. But it's a pretty cool one because you're getting some extra greens and that sort of fresh, watery taste of the lettuce is going to combine nicely with the other flavors that go inside it. You'll get a good crunch.
Right.
So, yeah, it seems a pretty cool idea.
Okay. So – what she's doing here, Gizzy, she's taking this way of eating the Korean and cooking the Korean food, but she's giving it a British twist.
Now, excellent.
A twist is sort of an unexpected feature of something. It's like you're taking something usual and you're changing it in a special way.
Okay. So this is a British twist. So I presume she's either making it with a cup of tea or she's doing it in the rain.
I don't think either, but
Okay. Well, yeah. What is she doing? She is roasting the pork belly with crackling and all. Now, yeah. crackling is the skin of the pig. It's the harder outer layer, the rind of it. Mm-hmm. And it's from freshly roasted pork. So she's kind of leaving the skin on. And it's called crackling because it becomes quite crackly.
Well, it's very crisp. So
yeah,
it's like,
almost, yeah,
like it's like a crisp, fatty piece of skin.
Yeah, it's almost sort of like a really well-cooked bacon sort of layer on the outside. Mm-hmm. You could snap it off and break a piece of it and eat it by itself.
It's very delicious.
Yeah, that, and it is a fairly common thing in British food to have crackling, especially on pork and other pig things like that.
Yep.
So she's, I guess maybe the South Korean way would be to not leave that on. But
I'm not necessarily
sure she's leaving it on and she's roasting it, which is also, we British do like roast dinners. So, yeah, we leave the crackling on. So there's a nice outside crust on it.
Right. Okay, so once the pork is in the oven, it actually, in the TV show, you'll find out that it takes about 12 hours to cook the whole thing through.
Roasts do take a long time.
Yeah, so it's quite a long time. So it kind of, the way they set it up on the TV show, they set it up before and
then
she pulls it
yesterday.
Out of the oven.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
Okay, so the pork's in the oven, it's roasting, and she sets to work on the sauce. Now, when you set to work on something, you start working or start doing this thing. It's quite easy. It's just another way of saying she gets started on the sauce. And she's using garlic, sugar, rice wine vinegar, doenjang, and gochujang.
Ooh.
Okay, well, let's talk about vinegar. Vinegar is an acidic
sour.
It's a sour liquid. Yeah,
you make it from again fermenting stuff. Usually some kind of alcohol. So
like wine or cider.
Yeah, and you turn that into this quite sour flavor. But it's you use a few drops of it to set off other flavors and kind of give it a tang.
Right.
And then she's got another kind. We've got doenjang and gochujang. So it's another different kind of fermented soybean paste. And this one's got a hint of spice. So a little bit of maybe chili or some other spice, which is going to provide the heat kind of taste to it, the flavor to it. And she's got all of that together to make a sauce for the meat when it comes out. So I guess this is the samjang with the doenjang as the base. And hers has got a bit of spice, garlic, sugar, vinegar, and so on. So it's going to be got sweet, sour, spicy elements. It's got
all those flavors.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll find out what else she adds to the dish in just a moment. Right now, we're going to hand over to our Chinese teacher.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 我们今天来继续看第七单元。好，今天的主厨料理是韩国菜，而这位主厨他是一个英国人，叫 Gizzy。我们提到他怎么样，深入韩国的城市乡间，然后呢去了解韩国料理它背后的一些缘由，然后甚至于介绍给大家，让他再推出一个菜色是包含了这些传统韩式料理在内的这种加入了英式变化的菜色。好，那这边就说到了 feeling inspired， 这个是一个分词构句。主词当然是后面说到的 Gizzy， 他呢感受到他被启发之后，所以他就成立一个料理台，开始做菜。那当然他是英国人，所以我们说过他的菜里面会有一些英国的风味。那第一道菜菜单上呈现出来的叫做生菜包肉。好，我们来看看这句话， On the menu today is， 注意到了这也是一个倒装句，因为你知道 on the menu today 并不是主词，它的主词其实是后面这个菜。那这个 bosom 这个菜它到底是什么菜啊？后面逗点，然后继续用同位语的方式来说明它。不过这也就是为什么这句要倒装的理由，因为你知道其实这个主词不是只有一个字而已，因为它后面还有一连串要解释跟说明的，所以这样子的倒装句型比较适合。好，也就是把 be 动词后面当补语的东西呢摆到前面。再来一点，就是他说这道菜叫生菜包肉，而这是一个猪五花的料理，也就是五花肉。这个五花肉在英文里面用到的其实是猪的肚子的部位，所以它叫 pork belly dish， 它用的是五花肉。 不是很瘦的肉哦，它是有肥肉部分。那我们知道说，诶，它用大酱作为基底，然后呢来做出来的这个料理，当然它有加了各种的蔬菜，然后呢是用生菜来包肉吃的。再来，诶，下一段他说啊，当然不是只有这样而已哦，他提到这道菜呢 to give the dish a British twist， 这个意思 to 就是表示为了什么目的，诶，为了要让这个料理加一点英式的变化，所以说呢他会怎么做，诶，他们喜欢把那个那个猪五花呢，烤得让它很脆，那皮很脆，所以要进烤箱，然后先把猪肉放进烤箱，然后他接着做酱汁。
We're going to take a short break now, but stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, welcome back. So we've been talking about Gizzy Erskine. She's making the sauce to go with her pork belly dish. She's now finishing it off, presumably the sauce, by adding the drippings from her roasted pork. Drippings is the animal fat, basically. Now you can take this from the unused part, or you can take it from as it's cooked. The fat will kind of run out. And
yes,
you can,
so when it's in the roasting pan, when you take that pan out, there will be a nice
level
thick layer of
grease
at the bottom.
Yes.
And that's the fat that's kind of melted out of the
meat. She's going to add that to the sauce. And this is what we do in the UK when we make gravy for a Sunday roast. Gravy is the sort of brownish liquid you use to add a bit of moisture and flavor to the meat and the vegetables you've roasted. It's made from the fat and juices of cooked meat, and you add a bit of soup stock and a few more things, bit of vegetables,
flour and water.
So that makes gravy. So she's kind of using that British trick again to give it this British twist to make it not just a Korean sauce, but a slightly Korean slash British sauce.
That's not all that she serves this meal with, though. She's going to add some more Korean elements into her meal. She serves this bossam with a spicy salad. Spicy here, when you eat spicy food, it's food that sort of warms you. It's quite hot. So it's got a strong, usually pleasant taste, unless it's too spicy.
Yeah, you get spices from chilies, from peppers, from a few other things like that. We often think of Indian food as being quite spicy, and a few other cuisines are known for being spicier than others.
Right, lots of spicy food in Taiwan. Okay, so she's going to make this spicy salad, and she's also making apple kimchi. Now, kimchi is fermented cabbage. And instead of basing this kimchi on cabbage, she's also adding apples to it.
Okay,
so it's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
And this is her take on bossam. Your take is your kind of your version, the one that you've created, your attempt to make it your own, your individual kind of try at doing something. And it's a huge hit. If something's a hit, it's very popular. Lots of people like it. So the villagers, they try this kind of English or British Korean kind of pork belly dish with the apple salad and the kind of Sunday roast gravy sauce, and they think, wow, this stuff's good.
Okay, so she's finished in the village. Gizzy is going to move on. Here it says she's having satisfied her itch to cook along with several villagers' stomachs. Gizzy's keen to hit the streets of Seoul. Now she has an itch to cook. Kind of scratched that itch here. An itch is a strong desire to do or have something. So that just meant she really, really wanted to make her own meal.
Yeah, and she didn't just satisfy that. She also satisfied several villagers' stomachs. And that's why we use this phrase along with. It just means as well as, also, and all of those other conjunctions. So she not only cooked and satisfied her desires, she satisfied people's stomachs. She made them feel full, feel happy, feel like they'd eaten a tasty meal. And now she's keen to hit the streets of Seoul.
Yeah, now this is one of my favorite words. I actually really like the word keen.
Mm-hmm.
When you're keen to do something, you want to do something very much. It's like saying that you have an itch.
Yes.
You really want to, if you're keen to go dancing on the weekend, you really want to go dancing on the weekend. You just have this strong desire to do that thing.
Yeah. Eager is mm-hmm. another synonym.
Right. Okay, so she's keen to hit the streets. When you hit the streets, you go to a town, you go to a shopping mall sort of thing. You're going to go do something in a certain area, usually a busy area, downtown.
You're going to walk around and see right. what's out there and check what's available and so on. And she is in search of delicious Korean barbecue. Remember the phrase in search of from yesterday. Now, she's not just looking for any Korean barbecue,
right.
the first one she comes to. She wants something in particular. She's after a particular beef rib called galbi. Now, if you're after something, that's what you want to get. You might say, I'm going shopping and I'm after some bargains, or I'm after a new pair of shoes today. That's the thing I really want. So it's she's not just searching in general. She's searching for something specific for a beef rib. Now, ribs are the bones in your chest that protect the heart and your other organs. And so a beef rib is that part of the cow from around the cow's chest and all the meat that attaches to the ribs and the fat that goes outside that and so on.
Okay, so she's after this beef rib. It's called galbi. And galbi is known for something special. It says here, which is known for the fat that marbles through it.
Ooh.
Now, we're using marble as a verb here. Marble is usually a noun. It can be a toy.
Yes.
That kids play with.
Little balls colors in. Yeah.
And it's also a stone, a beautiful stone. Now, Taiwan is actually known for its marble. You'll find a lot of marble in Taroko Gorge.
Mm.
So it's this beautiful whitish colored stone. And in the stone, you'll see kind of gray.
Streaks.
Yeah, streaks of gray colors that
or
go
other
through
colors.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, blues and
blues
sort
and
of very
reds,
dark
if there's
reds.
Iron.
Yeah. So we kind of imagine that it's something with sort of lines and swirls like a little river or stream of something is going through. And here it's fat. So it's the fat is going to be a lighter sort of white or
white
yellowy
color. Yeah.
And it's going to go through the meat. So there's these little layers, these little streams of fat going through the meat. Now, fat, it sounds unhealthy, but it does taste especially good.
It does. Now, there's a special way of cooking this fat that actually makes the meat taste better. When you put the galbi on the barbecue, the fat melts into the meat, and it when it does this, when it melts into it, it kind of becomes part of the meat. So it all just sort of starts as two separate things, and it ends up as just one solid piece of meat.
It sounds like you're almost creating your internal sauce.
Right.
Like in the last dish we talked about adding some fat to the gravy and adding fat to the sauce. Here, the fat that you're adding is inside the meat.
Right. It's
and
already
as you
in the
cook it, it's getting it's adding all its juices and its flavor all into the beef as it's being cooked.
That's right. That's actually exactly what it's doing. And because it does that, it makes the beef rib tender and juicy. Now, tender here, tender food is soft. It's easy to cut through. It's easy to chew because it's been very well cooked.
Yeah. We also saw the word melt. If something melts, it changes from being a solid into a liquid, like when you take ice out of the refrigerator and it turns to water, or when your ice cream gets too hot in the sun and just kind of turns into some kind of like drink.
Ice cream juice.
Milk, basically.
Yum.
Okay, so that's this fantastic galbi, this other dish. Now, no trip to Korea is complete without trying galbi. And at Seoul's Korean Barbecue Festival, Gizzy is up to her ears in it. If you're up to your ears in something, it means you're surrounded by that thing. If you're up to your ears in water, the water is to the level of your ears.
Probably not good. Get out of that water.
Yeah, so this is a bit of a metaphor here. She hasn't actually got this beef in her ears, but it just means there's lots of it and it's all around her.
Okay, well, if all of this talk of food has you hungry, I know that talk of galbi has me hungry, you can satisfy your cravings for South Korea's distinctive cuisine by tuning into TLC's show. And the show, of course, is called Discovering Korean Food with Gizzy Erskine, and it's playing this November. Now, when you want to satisfy your cravings for something, a craving is another word for a desire, just like an itch.
A need to have that
right,
thing.
It's a very, very strong desire for something. You need to have it. And we also described the cuisine again as distinctive. That means that it has a special quality to it that makes it different from other cuisines.
And easily recognizable. You can taste it or see it or smell it and go, aha.
This is Korean.
That's South Korean food, okay? And it is distinctive with all these ingredients and all these sauces and this lettuce method of eating. So, yeah, it's pretty unique and special.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the end of our article. So we're going to give you to our Chinese teacher once more and then come back to wrap things up.
好，我们继续来看主厨料理。说到呢，他让这个韩式料理加进英国风味，做英式料理的变化。然后，这个过程当中，当然他提到很多的细节。不过重点就是说，他一定要保持韩式料理的这种味道。所以说，他里头会除了有沙拉还有泡菜，那他这样子的诠释呢竟然大受欢迎。看到了 Gizzy's take on Bossom is a huge hit with the villagers， 换句话说村民吃了以后赞不绝口。不过注意到 take， 我有时候我们问到一个人 What's your take on something？ What's your take on this？ 意思就是你对这个事情的看法如何。这个 take 它是一个名词，有点像你的看法、你的态度、你的想法。好，再来我们再往下面这一段，他就说到其实他做完这个料理之后呢，他很想就到首尔，到这个他们的首都去啊，到首尔呢去寻找韩国烤肉。那他找到了一种特有的一种牛肋排，然后呢，这个牛肋排当然他是说到它带有纹理啊，有油脂，所以呢很有名。那基本上他要怎么做这个料理呢？他有一点他就特别提到哦，你如果到韩国没有吃他这种牛肋排的话，就等于是你没来了。所以这句话他用 No trip to Korea is complete without trying galbi。 这个他当然你看到了这种 double negative， 也就是说你前面讲 No blah 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 is complete without， 这个 No 跟 without 两个都是否定，换句话说是到韩国来一定要尝这个料理，这种是极度的肯定语气。那接下来下面他就说了，谈到说讲这个菜那个菜，那看完了一定会觉得饿，对不对？ Hey, if all this talk of food has you hungry， 注意到 has you hungry 的 has 其实它是一个实义动词的用法啊。那 has somebody 后面这个 hungry 就像一个补语的东西，用形容词当补语，当作受词补语，让你觉得饿。假如听了这么多让你感到饿的话，那没关系，就请大家收看这个 TLC 频道上面的节目，它叫做韩国好滋味。好，谢谢大家的收听，我们下次见。
All right, well, that is the end of our article, and Erin is bursting to get out the door to go to the nearest Korean restaurant.
Galbi, galbi, galbi.
Okay,
yum,
so
yum, yum.
We're going to let her go, and we're going to let you go too. Thanks very much for listening. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Erin.
Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.